We're often told that the family model of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph is what we are all supposed to imitate in our family lives. Now, I think from experience, your experience and my experience, that's a lot more difficult than we think it is. And in addition to that, we're never going to make it anyway. We're never going to be as perfect as the household of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. But what it does is give us a model. And it teaches us an awful lot about what family life can and hopefully would be. Because it was a life of peace and respect and honor, where they grew together in their love for each other. There was a genuine bond that held them together, that they loved to be together. There's two distinct virtues that the gospel speaks of. It speaks about the authority of parents, and it speaks about the obedience of Jesus. Even though Jesus is God, God made man, he is still fully human. We kind of forget that part sometimes. We always think, well, if he's God, he would know how to do all this stuff. But he probably had to learn just like every other kid if he's fully human. And so it meant that the parents had to exert authority. They were the responsible people in the household. They were the ones who were supposed to help form him as a young man and bring him in so that he was able to go on and carry on his mission in life, which became the mission of our salvation. And it says that when they came back from the temple, Jesus was obedient to them. And that's what kids are supposed to be. They're supposed to be obedient. They're supposed to respect and honor the authority of their parents. That is the way they will learn. That is the way they will grow. That is the way they form family life. That is the way the family blossoms in a deeper bond of love and goodness. But they both have to do their part. Too many times in today's world, parents don't want to be parents because they don't want to exert their authority because, well, the kids, you know, they watch all this stuff on TV and they talk to their peers and your parents are overbearing. They expect too much. They're this, they're that. You know, they're old, they're grouchy, whatever it may be, you know. And so you can always find, the kids will always find excuses to say, it's not necessary. But it's still the responsibility of parents to exert their authority and to make sure that the young people learn to know and respect that there is a proper order of things, that there is respect that is supposed to be due to all people because God dwells in every one of us. And particularly to parents and family members, there is that respect and honor that must be there, as it should be for all people. So that's a job that parents have. It's not an easy job, especially in our world today where you have so much competition with all of the other interferences. But St. Paul also speaks about what is necessary for this family life to be a peaceful, a joyful, and a happy life, where families really grow and learn, where they're secure, they're comfortable with one another, where they find strength from one another, where they find direction, correction, all of those things. That's all part of family life. It is all a very important part of family life because none of us has ever finished learning. And St. Paul lists all of these things for you. I think last year when I preached on Holy Family Sunday, I suggested that every family member should memorize this passage from Paul's letter to the Colossians. How many of you did that? That's what I thought. Well, I did memorize it a long time ago. Another version of it that's much more poetic and much easier to remember. But it goes something like this: because you are God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. Now listen to that. You are God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. You're clothed with heartfelt mercy, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. And out of all of this, the motivation for doing this is because you love. You love, and love basically is just getting out of yourself and reaching out to somebody else. But for any of this, they talk about practicing virtue. This is not all divinely infused when you were born or baptized. Faith, hope, and charity are. But you still have to practice. You still have to work at it. And it means practice virtue. That means that you keep working at it. You don't try it one time, it didn't work, so you give up. That's not practicing. You know, if you miss 2 and 2 plus equals 4 about 3 times and you keep practicing, eventually you'll catch on that it's 4. And you keep practicing. And that's the same with all this virtue. With parents using their authority in a proper manner, with kids listening to it, with all of these other things that Paul talks about, it's very, very important that we practice that. It's not going to, you don't try it just one time. That's not practice. That's doing it and flunking, and so you're a failure. But Paul says you practice virtue. You keep working at it. And when you mess up, somebody should tell you. Maybe this will help you. You don't condemn people for that, because none of us is perfect at any of this stuff. But we keep practicing. So if somebody tells me that, you know, you really offended somebody today by this statement, or maybe I meant nothing by it, but the fact that somebody tells me that I offended somebody makes me reflect a little bit more on that. How do I do that the next time? That's the way you learn. But in addition to that, you don't learn anything if you don't listen. And unfortunately in our world today, we have so many distractions that it becomes almost impossible to listen to anybody. I bet if I walked in most of your homes any time during the day, your TV would be on. And for too many people in our world today, everybody's got their little electronic device, you know. You got your cell phone. In the middle of conversations, and this has happened to me many times, I'm sure it's happened to you. In the middle of a conversation, which you may think is an important conversation, where you're talking to somebody about who you are, what you're doing, or what you like, what you dislike, whatever it may be, whatever the conversation is, and somebody pulls out a cell phone and starts tinkering with it, doesn't that make you feel like you're really important? Look how often we do that. I have my one nephew, he had 2 girls. And of course, they were really good at this cross-room texting stuff, you know. And he would tell them one time, even when they were 15 years old, he'd say, "It's enough." If they kept it up, he'd confiscate the phones. He wouldn't see them for 10 days. That's the way it was. But say if you go in your homes, I bet your TV is on, or you got some kind of earplugs in your head listening to an iPod or something. People don't pay attention anymore. They're all so absorbed in that own little world that they have created. They don't want to learn anything, obviously, because they block everything else out. I like to take walks, you know, and I ride a bicycle. I do that periodically, play golf occasionally. And if I see somebody as I'm walking, I greet them. You know, sometimes they don't pay attention to you because they got those plugs in your head and they're not paying any attention to anybody else on the face of the earth. They don't want anybody else on the face of the earth. But we do that all the time. When families get together, it used to be a time family got together, they talked. And they had fun. And they played games. And they just celebrated. They enjoyed being with one another. Sometimes they would correct at one another. All that kind of stuff went on. But today's world, you can't sit down at a dinner table and somebody's got to pull out their phone, or you get the television running in the background with the news, which would cause indigestion for anybody. And yet we continue to do all that stuff. I've been called on sick calls to people's homes where people are very ill. And you walk in the room to talk to them because they requested it. And they got the television blaring behind you. I don't know about you, but I can't hear somebody when the television is blaring back at me. So maybe it was rude, but on a few occasions, I got up and shut the thing off. You don't learn if you don't listen. And you cannot possibly listen when you got your head plugged into something else, plus the TV running, plus whatever other noise is going on around you. How can you possibly listen to one another? How do you sit down at a dinner table to have conversation when everybody's looking at their iPhone? How do you learn anything? See, the problem is we don't. We don't learn any social graces, they're out the window. We don't learn being social at all, talking to people, exchanging ideas with people, exchanging greetings, anything. We're so filled with all of this noise, there's no way that anything can penetrate our skulls. You're not going to practice virtue because you don't think about it. Nobody's going to get through to you. You won't let them. So think about that. Think about that in your own home. How many times do you say husband and wife? I remember last year, or earlier this year, there was a couple who came up for a blessing after Mass. They were married 72 years. And the lady told me, she said, "We talk every day. We talk." Not comment on the noise on the TV or the news that came into their room. They talk to one another. They love one another. And they probably love each other much more deeply because they, every day of their lives, they talk to one another. They listen to one another. So it is with all of us. We know that if you ever take the time to look, who reads a book anymore? It's always something stuck in your head. Or that television, which unfortunately has become an invader in our homes, that brings stuff in our homes that we would never allow otherwise. TV shows that, you know, trash, absolute trash. The constant barrage of news, bad news from all over the world. You can't handle that stuff. Why do you keep it on? It just doesn't make sense. That's not what Christ, what our Lord, what our God had in mind when he created family life. He said you have to be with one another. You have to love one another. You have to learn from one another. But you can't do that if every time you walk in the house, you got plugs in your head or your TV running or something, you run into your computer to check this or that or the other thing. You know, we're losing social contact. I remember a story about a lady, a young grandmother, and she had about six kids, I think. They were all adult, four boys and two girls, and they were all had their little families. And they loved to get together. But as time, you know, with the development that goes on in our world, the constant new inventions, creations that people come up with, the conversations became almost non-existent. They no longer talk to each other about issues or problems, personal issues or personal problems, or family problems, or social issues that they want, or church problems, or God, and how do you train your kids to learn this and do that. They didn't do that anymore because they were all occupied with their own little electronic things. So what she did is when they came to her house, she had a basket by the door, and she collected all of them. And they had to be put on mute. And then she put them away where only she knew where they were. And when the family was dispersing at the end of their visit, she would give them back to them. She said, what a tremendous difference that made. They talked to one another. We're not doing that. How can we have family life if we don't talk to one another? If we don't respect one another, we're not willing to listen to one another. If we don't love one another. The Holy Family is held up to us as a model. We're never going to be perfect in imitating that. We all know that. We're on the journey. But we can greatly improve every one of us. Paul gives us a list of virtues. I still think you should memorize that. It gives you a list of virtues that you can work on. But there's also the two major things, the authority and the obedience, the willingness to listen. Essentially, that's what obedience is, a willingness to listen to another. The Holy Family is our model. We all have a long way to go, but we need to do something to make it happen. We need to practice being a good family.